witness of an event to see whether they're telling a true testimony. But in Christian, we are told that our life is like a living letters that people read. So sometimes they read us without us telling anything, and to see whether we have evidence that we actually belong to Jesus Christ, or do we practice the faith to say, hey, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. So we're going to have three beautiful Christians sharing their testimony, and the surprise is I got no idea what they're going to share, but it's going to be good, all right? So I'm excited. We call Natasha first. Natasha is not from Australia, just to let you know.
Will I throw you off if I say g'day? No. I'm just going to kind of share just a little, kind of about like a joy I've found recently in last 5 years. Sorry, I'm going to look at my notes because I'm not great at remembering. For those that don't really know me or don't know me at all or don't know much, I actually came out here for the first time in 2018. Felt God calling me here, part of a vineyard in America, so reached out to Toa and Maria before I even arrived. Of course, came here instantly, fell in love with everybody here. So, but then after a year, found out I had cancer, had to go back for treatment. Very miserable time for me, very much had to, like, all I could think about was, you know, 1 year. Newsflash, it took 5 years. So the 5 years, I was patient, but I wasn't. A little angry, but I was able to find God in some of that. When I finally realized, like, hey, I think it's time to go back, it was hard, you know, it's a little, I have those doubts, you kind of seep in, like, will you still fit in? Are the people who you remembered, are you in that place how you remembered? Is God really calling you? I was gone for so long. What if God's plans changed? What if my heart changed? What if their hearts changed? Like, just everything that encompassed. And I suffer from anxiety and depression, so that can become quite crippling at times. Still have, you know, moments, we all do. What God has been doing, though, since I've returned, has made me realize it is his calling. Coming back, like, I had goals. I'm like, okay, how long is it going to do all those things? But it's like, it's been 6 months, and I feel like things are going really well. I came back. Y'all are still wonderful. Surprise, you guys are great. Still love you. I think you guys love me. I wanted to study ministry again. I'm currently studying at Alpha Crucis. Even though visa is still an issue and it's not permanent right now, I'm still doing it. I'm preparing to hopefully be working in a certain field once, you know, I start on a permanent visa. I've recently had dinner with someone at this church and some of their friends, and I've made connections, and now they're just waiting for me to get my visa and possibly have an in to actually get the job I want. So everything's like lining up, you know, God's providing. I wanted to get deeper into this church. I work a lot with Maria. I want to do missions. I went to Lombok. Very jealous Toa gets to go back again because I'm waiting for the day I get to go back because it was great. So I'm doing that, getting connected in this community. I hand out food here. Allison introduced me to Rahab, which I'm actually really enjoying, and I'm doing that. So all these things of, you know, even though situationally visa is the biggest issue, it's not permanent, I very much feel God planting me here, and it's wonderful. Like, I'm big on the whole imaginative prayer, so whenever I start to worry, I just close my eyes, and I feel like I can picture myself on a lawn, and I feel like roots are growing out of my feet here in Australia. I feel like this is where I'm meant to be, and it's planting. It does get hard. There's still concerns, obviously, like I said, and, you know, I miss my family and all that stuff. But God has changed how I see things. And so even when things are so uncertain or I feel like things are going good and I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop, you know, I see things differently. So my favorite quote is by Anne Frank. It says, "I don't think of all the misery, but of all the beauty that still remains." It's always been my favorite quote. And I've always tried to have a good outlook on things. You know, I try to dig deep, you know, and come out of, you know, dark times and stuff. The past 5 years, I feel like I had a lot to wallow in darkness for. I was going through cancer. I had a car crash. I had church hurt where a pastor got inappropriate with me, and that really gutted my last year at the Vineyard back home. I had my grandpa, my father, my half-sister all pass away during COVID, plus multiple friends. So, and then all the while, I was just like, get me out of here. So I feel like in those, we have all that, the recipe was there to just stay in darkness and to stay, you know, away from God. But I think God has just like been like getting deeper, that somehow his love is deeper than all that hurt for me. I still woke up every day. I would literally open my blinds every day while going through chemo and be like, thank you, God, for the snow today, just like that. And I'd try to be chipper, but you know what? It really worked because something really changed, and it's not, now I'm in this place where I don't have to. Yes, we have bad days, and I have my bad days too, or I'm just like, I want to wallow a little. But all in all, like, God has just been really able to completely encompass my heart and get to the core of me that I don't stay in that place anymore. And I'm really grateful for being here and all that he's doing here. And a big part of that for me is like nature. Like my favorite thing to do, thank you for letting me live with you guys, is looking out the front yard at Toa Maria's and seeing the sky. And I look at the stars every night. I have a star app. I'm kind of nerdy like that. And watch the ocean. But it's just amazing to me because I just think like how majestic this life is, like, and looking at the beauty that God has given all of us, and to just look out and like, this is his kingdom, and this is just beautiful amongst all that. So I'm just gonna end a little bit with saying the full quote, because so that quote I like is just the first part of the whole sentence that she says, but I really like the whole part, so I just want to share that with you. She said, "I don't think of all the misery, but of all the beauty that still remains. My advice is go outside to the fields, enjoy nature and the sunshine. Go out and try to recapture happiness for yourself and in God. Think of all beauty that's left in and around in you and around you, and be happy." So I just encourage everybody to do that. I don't think, you know, that's not putting on a fake facade, but especially when we have Christ and we really delve deep into our relationship with him, he's at the root of all of it, and you can find that happiness and joy. So I'm just grateful that God has really transformed me to be able to get out of the wallowness, to enjoy every majestic thing that he has, because the littlest things are incredible. So just a little.
Just wait. I'm going to get Daniel to come up and pray for Natasha, because Daniel's been hanging out with Natasha a bit. So a couple of things. Ellie is going to come and then share a bit about rehab, because a couple of things. So I've read the diary of Anne Frank. Mm-hmm. Can you explain who she is?
So Anne Frank, if anybody doesn't know, was a Jewish girl during World War II, the Holocaust. She and her family were hidden by her neighbors in Germany for a couple years in Amsterdam. I actually went to her house last, like, a year and a half ago to see where they were staying. But within the last couple months of the war, they got found out. Everybody except for her father was killed in Auschwitz in Germany. But she wrote a diary that whole time she was hiding. And those are her words. She was just a little girl, you know, writing her life and still
fighting. Small hole.
Small little attic, yeah, with five or six people total. Yep. So, yeah. But she found that beauty.
Yeah. So this is Natasha's testimony. What it means is you can't say she's lying or she's not truthful. So that's how God works, you know, and we get to share her story now, which is part of our story. Then we can pray for her, and Daniel's going to pray for you so that you get your visa real quick and you can get a job and enjoy life a bit more. Yeah.
I'm going to
just pray for Natasha to get a visa quickly. Sure. Or anything else.
Lord, we thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for Natasha, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that you've brought her to us, Lord. Brought her to this church, brought her to this community, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for her testimony today, Lord. We thank you that she could share that with us, Lord. And Father, Lord, we just, Lord, I pray for everyone here who might also relate to Natasha's testimony, Lord, if they're going through a tough time or going through times where they just can't see the end of it, Lord. But, Lord, I just pray that, like Natasha, they would be able to see your majesty, Lord, and see your goodness in it, Lord. Yeah. And, Lord, that they would just be able to hold on to your hope, Lord, and hold on to your truth, Lord. And, Lord, we just thank you for Natasha, Lord, and we thank you that as you bring her here, Lord, that you're bringing her here for a purpose, Lord, and that as she is asking for a visa, Lord, asking to move into the things that you have for her, Lord, that you would just open those doors, Lord, and that you would just clear the path for her, Lord. And we just pray these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. So testimony, like say, is Holy Spirit working in us, and we kind of work out what God is saying. And sharing the story, we want to give praise to Christ. So the next one is Ellie or Allison Winter. Before you jump into your testimony, maybe just share with us what rehab is, because
it's part of this.
Okay, go for it.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon, Allison.
my name is Allison, and I've been a member of Marion Vineyard for about 27 years. Whoa. 27, almost 28 years. Today I'm going to talk about a ministry that I have been involved in the last couple of years called Rahab Ministries. Rahab Ministries helps women and girls who feel trapped in the sex industry, that is prostitution. We bring them the good news of Jesus and arrange practical help in many areas. I'm involved in the Southern Outreach. Once a month, we visit 10 different massage parlours, bringing gifts and building relationships. We have an excellent team of women who volunteer their time and pastorally care for those women who reach out for help. So how did God lead me into this ministry? Many years ago at a Vineyard conference, the speaker, Ken Fish, had a prophetic word for me about ministering to women in need. He said, "I had a strong anointing of motherhood. I would minister to younger women, mothering those who had been neglected. I would be involved in binding up the brokenhearted, bringing healing to women who had had abortions and had been involved in sexual sin." This was all a bit unexpected because I had always thought my main ministry was with children, but it certainly aligned with my heart for those suffering in those areas. I originally heard about Rahab Ministries when Paulette, the founder, spoke at our church. That was quite a few years ago now. My heart was moved by the way Jesus was rescuing women from such dreadful circumstances and healing them and changing their lives. I thought that I would like to get involved, but at the time I had children at home and was also teaching. Later on, years later, I chatted with Simone, who we've already prayed for today. She had also volunteered with Rahab and was talking with her once again. I felt like I would love to help in this area, but I didn't think I could fit it into my life. Years later, I met Mim Milne, who is the leader of the Southern Outreach, when she spoke here at church. God continued to work in my heart, growing a deep compassion for these women and their plight. I knew Jesus was the answer to their seemingly unsolvable situations. Finally, I decided to look into Rahab and how I could participate. I did the training and started going on outreaches with MIM's group. It was certainly a challenge for me with lots to learn, but I enjoyed blessing the women with gifts and chatting with them and praying for them. I've now taken on an admin role as well as going on the outreaches, and I was the leader of the group for 6 months when MIM was overseas. This work has been quite a challenge for me as I am not naturally an outgoing person, but I have found ways that I can be involved. God is stretching me and teaching me many things. He has given me a deep compassion for the women and girls we minister to. It is such a blessing to see women come to the Lord and begin the journey of exiting the industry. If you check out the Rahab website, you will see all the ways Rahab helps women in practical and spiritual ways. I have found the podcast called Exodus Cry quite enlightening if you are interested in educating yourself about issues in the area of prostitution. There are also some good Christian documentaries. It is a very complex area involving people trafficking, grooming, and slavery. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus describes his mission. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. By volunteering for Rahab, I have been able to partner with Jesus in his mission and see his amazing work of rescue happening in the southern suburbs. It would be wonderful if you could be praying for Rahab and particularly the southern outreach. There is a spiritual battle going on as we enter these establishments. Also, if you would like to donate towards the little gifts that we give out or to general work of Rahab, that would be very much appreciated. Thank you.
Can I ask you something? All right. Some of you may not familiar with prophetic word. And Alan Sensei, Ken Fish, which is a good friend of our fellowship, came and gave you a word. How many years ago was that?
Mahjong? Yeah. How many?
All right. 10, 15. Prophetic word is someone who felt God wanting to give a word, sometimes just an encouragement, a revelation, but also a bit of nudge, as in God is inviting to Allison to do something in her own natural mind. It's like, no way! Yeah. So how did you process that, the prophetic word?
Well, it took a long time for anything to sort of come of it.
Yeah.
But I just kept it in the back of my mind. I had it written down in my phone and just kept referring to it every now and then and just praying and trying to be open to what God, how God was leading me.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm going to get Maria to pray for Rahab because we've been journeying. Yeah, let's pray for Rahab.
Yeah. Thank you, Alison. That's great. Lord, we thank you for Alison. We thank you for her testimony today, for her openness and willingness to be led by you. And Lord, so thank you for that. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have been speaking to her. And as she has taken steps of obedience, that you've confirmed those steps in her heart with a real sense of confirmation that she is doing what she really does need to do. It brings her joy. It's how she's been made. It's something inside of her that you've placed, the way you've wired her.
Yes, Lord.
And so we do thank you for the ministry of Rahab, Lord, for those that are trapped in this particular profession, in the sex industry, Lord, in a variety of ways. And Lord, we just pray for all those that are involved. Lord, would you, oh Lord, would they just have continual open hearts to you, humbly being led by you, being protected by you, being given words by you, Lord, for these women. Lord, thank you that they are your hands and your feet and your mouthpieces of love and kindness to women who are in situations that are complex and difficult and where they don't want to be. So, Lord, thank you that they come with your hope. And we pray, Lord, as they enter into the kingdom of darkness or very dark territory, Lord, that they would know that you are with them, your angels are with them, and that the kingdom is forcefully advancing as they take hold of your word, Lord, of your faithfulness, of their own faith in you, and Lord, walk into these places with great confidence in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Spirit, that they will do great things in the name of Jesus, that bondages would break, that the oppressed would definitely be set free in Jesus' name. And so, Lord, we look forward, Lord, as a fellowship to hear of many victories for your kingdom through this wonderful ministry. So we just speak blessing over it all now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Alison. So as a fellowship, we believe in the authority and anointing of the Holy Spirit, as Alison, used Isaiah 61 and Luke 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us to preach the good news. So that's the authority and anointing, and it's on all of us. We just need to allow the Holy Spirit to use us. Not that we get hold of the Holy Spirit, but allow the Holy Spirit to get hold of us and prompt us. We also, as a fellowship, try to be Bible-based. So whatever is in the Bible, no matter what other church say, we try to practice it. One of it is the spiritual gifts. So spiritual gifts is in 1 Corinthians 4, 12 to 14, and Romans 12, and then Ephesians. And 1 Corinthians 14, 1 is say, Paul is saying, pursue love, just go after love, don't stop, go after it. But then he also say, eagerly, earnestly desire all spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. So prophetic word is not that we are like the Old Testament prophet. Basically, the spirit in us is a spirit of prophecy. So the Bible also say the testimony of Christ is a spirit of prophecy. So when we share it, it's like, why not, God? Do it again. Do it again. So the next one we're going to share is Pat. Pat is from my other church. So I have a second church, if you don't know. And what's that second church?
Oh, Candlelight Gardens Uniting Church.
Yes. So I've been trying to get Pat to say, come on, come and experience a bit of dose of Holy Spirit. So go for it.
Thank you. Well, I'm one of the people who took a very long time to really come to know Jesus properly. Here last week at Alpha, listening to Mono and Darren speak with Nikki, I was just so impressed at how they had come to faith in a country that is so hostile to the gospel. And I have lived in this country all my life, and we're not exactly hostile to the gospel. I think we're indifferent, but and we think we've got it all. We don't need God, We don't even believe Genesis 1:1. So, there's not a lot of hope for us unless we change. So I'm very impressed with these people who hear the gospel and just respond or know of a certainty that it's the truth. I was always fascinated by people who did things like that, who were the heroes in the Christian world. I read lots of books about people who went to countries where they were in great danger, they were imprisoned, they were beaten, they were executed, all sorts of things. But they still never denied their faith. And I wanted that kind of faith. As a child, I was in the Anglican Church, Church of England, and that gives you a sense of the awesomeness of God, the Father, the Creator, etc. And I loved that as a child. But as a teenager, I just found that the liturgy was pretty tedious, the words were meaningless, blah, blah, blah. But later on, when I became a proper Christian and I went to an Anglican service and I heard those words, I thought, people, do you know what you are saying? This is straight out of the scripture. And, you know, they were so meaningful. When I met my husband and his family, they were Baptists. And by this stage, I was looking again for God. I was considering, well, there has to be somebody out there in charge of this universe who cares about it. And I want to know more. And the Baptists, they were all about Jesus, son, brother, you know, friend, etc. And I thought that was terribly presumptuous. I mean, God was God, you know. So they were about the son. So I had the father and the son. Later on, I met up with the Pentecostals. And, of course, that adds to the Holy Spirit and the things that Toe's talking about. But all the time, I was still really searching for a proper experience. I believed, but it was a decision of the intellect and the will. And I was still very interested in all the intellectual things. I wanted to know, you know, proof about God. So I read lots of books, like The Resurrection Factor and things like that, that many of you have probably read as well. And I must admit, the Pentecostal scene was pretty freaky at first. You know, I went thinking, oh, what are these people up to? But I knew this is genuine. This is real. This is the Holy Spirit, and I want to be part of that too. Now, many people have been Christians all their lives, and I know people like that. And they have a beauty and a purity in their life that is undeniable. And when I was proceeding along these ways, I eventually became a teacher at Sunrise Christian School because of something else that happened. I'll tell you about it in a minute. And I know one of our headmasters, Lee Avery, was like that. He became a Christian at 3. He doesn't remember not being a Christian. But other people have had a defining moment in their life where they knew. And I'm one of those. I needed it. And when our minister was talking this morning about Thomas being the doubter, well, I was a Thomas. It took a lot to convince me. But anyway, I just knew at some point there has to be a God. Somebody's got to be in charge of this universe, or I don't want to live in it. I wasn't suicidal, but it was meaningless. I was at uni. I was studying all this literature in different languages, and it was all nihilism, nothingness, so bleak, so awful. No wonder these people suicide, I tell you. There's just nothing to believe in. But also, I just felt there just has to be something. One of the subjects I had to do at one stage was philosophy. I did a year of it because it completed my arts degree. And the professor that was talking there was a materialist. He believed that we were material only. Like we were atoms and electrons and things. So everything you did, thought, felt, etc., apart from your physical sort of actions, was, I guess, the firing of electrons in your brain. And I thought, well, that's pretty bleak. But then he said, there is no argument philosophically that we are not something else, that there's another component. Consciousness, call it soul, call it what you like. And I thought, I have to believe that. And so I continued searching for what is this other dimension. Anyway, eventually, when I was meeting up with a lot of the people in the Pentecostal scene, and I was really desperately searching because everything in my life was going pear-shaped. My marriage was breaking up. Everything was just, you know, falling to bits. And so I was reading the Bible one night, and God convicted me of something that was a wrong attitude, so I dealt with that. And then I just sat there in the room in the evening, it was night time, place was all locked up, everyone else was asleep. And I just prayed and I just said, Jesus, I believe intellectually, I believe you are the Son of God. You are the Saviour of the world. You're my Saviour, but I've never felt it and I think I need to. And he came into the room. This presence came literally into the room. Now, my house was locked up. I don't know how he got in. And I didn't see him because as this presence came around the corner and into the lounge, I lost all vision. Everything went misty and so forth. And this presence came, it was Jesus. I knew instantly it was him. He came very gently and slowly and quietly. Or I think I would have been terrified, but I just knew who it was. And he stood in front of me, and as I say, I couldn't see him, but I knew he was there. And all I could say was, it's you, isn't it? It is really you. And he didn't say anything, he didn't touch me. All he did was stretch his hands out. I sensed him stretching his hands out over me and just pouring love and acceptance and warmth and healing over me. And from that instant on, I've been a Christian. And you might think I was nuts. Lots of people do. Some people think it was, you know, some sort of demonic manifestation, but I know it wasn't. Anyway, subsequently, I became a teacher later on in Sunrise Christian School, had many wonderful years there, taught with them a bit in various campuses around Adelaide. I taught at Temple College. I actually taught over here when this school was Maranatha, before it became a Sunrise. And I didn't quite know how we fitted in. There were four of us who were Pentecostals that were teaching at Maranatha, and I didn't know how we fit, you know. I discovered that when we were doing devotions, when they read a scripture, they didn't just read scripture, they read the entire chapter. And that was the key. That was the word. We both believed utterly in the word. So I had many... unfortunately, I overdid it. I crashed and burned. I had a breakdown, more or less. I developed anxiety also. Yes, God doesn't make everything perfect. Through it all, through the years as a single parent and all sorts of things like that, God has just proved faithful. And I just simply know Jesus is love. Every one of us, all 8 billion here on earth and all those before and after, and he wants every one of us. So that's my story.
Wow. That was good. Did you enjoy that?
No. No, I'm feeling...
You did well. You did well.
I'm nervous. I was a teacher. It's different being a teacher.
All right. Anyway, thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Pat was saying I'm throwing her in the deep end so soon. So, so I sense, you know, as you hear the story, that God does speak to us directly and in the ways that other people don't understand. So we're going to give time now, what we sort of basically have a time where we are intentionally sensing what the Holy Spirit wants to do among us. I think there's a couple of things, all right, that I pick up straight away God wants to deal with. It's anxiety. If you are someone that are anxious... So Allison didn't say anything, but she is also don't like standing up here. So it was a big step for her to get up. So God wants to deal with anxiety, and it's very simple. God said, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. But in everything, by prayer. And then he also say, don't worry about this world. I give you my peace. So we're going to pray for peace for those who are anxious. But we're going to give time. This is where we kind of pause and like, okay, let's not go with our agenda. So that's why I changed a bit. And we're just going to have worship, and then we're just going to wait. And Melinda is going to lead us in communion when you feel is right. We'll see what happens after a second.